This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Even through this pandemic, the real estate market stayed hot. New listings are flying off the streets almost as soon as they appear. And they often sell above asking price with more than the occasional bidding war. The average sale price in the region is up 21% compared to 2019. And now, with houses hard to come by, the rental market is also feeling the impact. Landlords are deciding to sell, and that has tenants on the move. And now that demand has rent going up. So joining Cincinnati Edition to discuss the hot housing market and the hot rental market are Coldwell Banker Realty and associate broker Sue Bezel Price. Sue, welcome to our program.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
We also have with us Coldwell Banker Realty realtor Karen Gamel. Karen, welcome to you as well.
Thank you, Michael.
And if you're listening and you want to share your perspective or your experience while you're out there hunting for a house or hunting for an apartment, or if you're a seller, give us a call, 513-419-7100, or email your thoughts, questions, or comments to talk at WVXU.org. Sue, let's start with you. I read recently that Cincinnati is considered one of the hottest real estate markets in the country. Is that true?
Yes, it is. It is. And I think for a few reasons. One is, you know, while the prices are going up, they are still relatively low compared to other markets. So Cincinnati and in the Midwest in general, it's very hot right now.
Okay, so I'm tossing around the words hot housing market. How do you define that?
Well, I guess it depends on who it's hot for. So sellers, yes, it's incredibly. They can sell very quickly. Their houses, you know, they're often getting over list price. And so, you know, that's going on. You know, I think if we look at the available inventory or the month supply when we're looking at a hot market, at even keeled market, is about 5.5 months of inventory. Okay. So that's anything above that. You know, it's more slanted for buyers, and anything lower than that is geared towards sellers. And so we're at like a five and a half month inventory is pretty, it's a good, so that's like a calm, and anything above or below that, it gets to be hot for one person or the other. You know, right now, you know, it, like I said, we should be at an even keel is about 5.5 months supply of inventory. We are like at a couple of days of inventory, 15 days inventory. So that is a hot market.
So that suggests that that's what the average, or the, is it the median listing time for a property to be on the market?
The average. So the average I'm looking at right now is, you know, for the, this goes back to April, because that's the latest stats from Cincinnati MLS anyway, and it is about a 15-day average days on market.
Okay, so when you're dealing with a client, and I might get a little passionate in this conversation because I'm currently looking myself. I think our listeners have heard me reference that months ago as well. That's how challenging.
Yeah, I think the last time I was on the show, you talked about it as well.
Well,
so, yeah,
it's not gone well, Sue. Yeah. It's not gone well for me. But what is your advice to clients right now? Because it's kind of heartbreaking for buyers.
It is. I mean, we just recently had some clients that we wrote 13 offers on. And they eventually, you know, and we're going to talk about this later, they have to go into a rental because they're being asked to leave their rental property right now because their seller or their landlord wants to sell. So in this market, it's just difficult. And I kind of go back to 2008. It's the same thing, but just different as far as, you know, there was so much inventory on the market, not enough buyers. Now there's so many buyers and not enough inventory. The thing is, you know, you really need to speak, individuals need to speak with, you know, real estate agents to find out what's in their best interest. You know, people, like, life happens, right? So people get married, people get divorced, people have babies, people die. I mean, things happen where they have to move. So is it a situation where you have to move, or is it you want to move? So you've got to look at those things to determine really if it's something you really should do. at this point.
Let's bring in Karen Gamble, also a realtor with Coldwell Banker Realty. Karen, you're primarily on the Kentucky side. And when
that
we talk about the local real estate market, tell us what the situation is like in Northern Kentucky, because I get reports from the Northern Kentucky Association of Realtors, and it looks like it's the same story on both sides of the river.
Yes, it is the same story on both sides of the river. You know, we have these existing home sellers who have acclimated to the COVID situation, and they've changed their lifestyles. They decided to bump up. The contractors, really great contractors, they're scheduled out till spring of 2022 to have their homes bumped up, new offices placed in their existing homes because they have no place to go unless they choose to build. And that's sometimes taking longer than anticipated because of supply and demand of materials for these homes that they are building. And of course, I'm sure many of your audience has witnessed at Home Depot and Lowe's and the various box stores that lumber and all of these things that they're putting into these new homes have gone extremely high, expensive. The costs have tripled and quadrupled, et cetera, et cetera. So it's been crazy for the home builders as well.
Well, yeah, we saw recently, Karen, that I think it was Fisher and Dries, two of the largest home builders in our area, certainly Fisher, one of the largest in the country, that they've had to put restrictions on how to proceed on new construction opportunities. So what has that done to the local housing market?
Okay. What it has done, it has created a lot of frustration for our folks who are building in these new developments. And all they can do is, in fact, we have one set of clients who moved in with their parents, and they have, several children. So we have generations living in one household right now. That's the first question I ask. Once we sell their home, where are you going? And if you don't have a place to go, in case we can't find anything, we need to make arrangements. So it can be very frustrating for these folks. And what it does, it creates frustration, but people learn patience, don't we?
I suppose. I suppose we learn patience at some point in our
sellers,
lives.
They're doing fantastic with their returns on the existing homes that they're selling. And we've had buyers recently who built, say, 2 years ago and sold a year later. And the value and the equity within just a year and a half of a brand new built home is crazy. It's just crazy. But I'll tell you what, as long as there's a plan, an escape plan, let's say, from your existing home or from your rental, and of course, that's another can of worms right now with moratoriums and such for these poor sellers of apartment buildings, and they can't do anything right now because CDC guidelines. It's just been a challenge for everyone, and they need to talk to their realtors. Don't go out there. I beg your audience, do not go out there without consulting a realtor right now, because there are many pitfalls that you can experience. And like you said, it's very frustrating. Like Sue said, we've written up to 10 offers on a house before. And it's funny because generally we say cash is king. It isn't always the situation. But the best offers, of course, out there, at least for some of our clients, was cash with no appraisal. So
Hang on a second. You'll have to explain that to us. So we know that like appraisal is part of the home buying process, and that's
correct,
where some outsider comes in and evaluates what is believed to be the true value of the house, right?
That is correct.
Okay.
Yes.
So what is the advantage of a seller asking you not to get that type of analysis done?
Simply because the lender who chooses the appraiser to go in and do the appraisal, if the appraisal comes back shorter than what you have contracted, the buyer has contracted to purchase the house from the seller for, that creates a problem. Then you're back to square one in your contract, and you have to reapply, renegotiate on a purchase price. Because the lender, I'm not in all cases, and I'm not a lender, so I can't sit here and I can explain all of my experience, but I'm not going to bore you with that. If you can be a cash buyer, you love the house, and you don't ask for an appraisal, many times that helps eliminate many of the pitfalls that can happen in that type of a deal.
We're talking
so Mike, talk to your realtor.
Well, I guess I'd have to talk about getting some cash, because this sounds like the way to go. If you are in a good cash position, Sue, are you higher up on the food chain in the pursuit of a new house?
Yes, definitely. So kind of back to what Karen was saying, the sellers are looking at every single term of the contract. So some of the things that we're seeing, and I think what you had said, Michael, is that the sellers are asking for it. The sellers aren't asking pretty much for anything. It's the buyers who are throwing themselves at the mercy of the sellers. And, you know, we've got people who will, you know, going back to, you know, the appraisal. So, yeah, so in the Greater Cincinnati Area Board contract purchase, there's an appraisal contingency, and it's appraisal contingency for cash. So even if you have cash, or even if you're putting 20% down or whatever, if you are waiving or you're getting your loan officer or your mortgage company to waive the appraisal, which some of them are doing, especially if you're putting 20% down or cash, that's king. That will trump you know, a conventional loan where you're only doing, you know, 3% down, or FHA or anything like that. So they're looking at that, but then also about going back to what Karen was talking about, where we're looking at the terms of the contract. It's if I'm a buyer and I want to move into your house, but you don't have somewhere to go, I can put the closing earlier, but occupancy later. So we have people staying in their homes 2 or 3 months after they sell them so that they can find a home.
Oh my gosh. So even the sellers are finding themselves displaced after selling
their house. Yeah. But they want, so there's different ways to go about when you're working with the sellers about, you know, as Karen said, what is this, you know, the strategy behind listing their house. And one is, you know, as I said, they receive all the offers. You know, we have a process of how they do it, but you know, they'll get multiple offers. They'll choose the offer that obviously has the best terms, the cash, maybe waiving appraisal, maybe waiving inspection. Not that we would ever recommend that, but that's something that they're doing. And then putting a post-closing or post-occupancy after closing. So that's something that, you know, we're definitely seeing. Or for the buyers, the other strategy is, let's get your house ready to market. Then you go out and find a home. Once you find a home, we put your house on the market and you'll sell within a week. So then you kind of work those things out. But it's all very strategic. And that's, again, going back to what Karen said, don't do this alone. find a realtor, because it's tricky these days, but it can be done. I mean, you know, the Fannie Mae is seeing, you know, they say that we're going to have an increased sales 6.3% this year. So people are buying and selling. It's just really fast.
We want to hear from you as well about your experience on the market, selling, buying. And up next, we're going to talk a little bit about the challenges in renting a place, too, as property owners see the value of their buildings rising and try to get out of it by selling it, displacing the tenants, or then flooding the market. And the rents are rising as well. We'll continue this conversation just ahead. You can call now, though, at 513-419-7100. And a little later on, we all love a good sports rivalry. New research from Northern Kentucky University shows not all rivalries are exactly the same. Some are more lasting and intense. We'll talk about that, too. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition On Demand. Did you know you can have the show delivered straight to your smartphone every day? Just go to your favorite podcast listening app, search Cincinnati Edition, and subscribe. You'll be able to keep up with all our great conversations with newsmakers, public officials, and other interesting people from the greater Cincinnati region and beyond on the go, anytime, anywhere. It's great for those days you can't tune in to catch us live. Weekdays at noon on 91.7 WVXU. And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. This hot housing market is now impacting the rental market, with property owners opting to sell as buildings go for top dollar right now. And that's forcing renters to flood the market as well. We're talking about the local real estate market with Coldwell Banker Realty and associate broker Sue Bezel Price. And we also have with us Coldwell Banker Realty Realtor Karen Gammel. I want to share a personal anecdote of my own search right now. I am personally looking for a multifamily to reside in and rent out another unit. And there was a pocket listing involved, right? Something that wasn't on the market, and maybe the owner didn't completely want to sell, but was considering it. And I have to say, I ultimately decided not to go that route. So the owner listed the empty unit that had just been renovated, and 50 different people walked through this, according to my agent. And I just want to get an idea, Karen, is this common when a rental unit comes on the market that there's that many people looking for that as well?
Yes. Yes, Michael, that is happening right now as well. Many, many buyers are in the same situation. It's very sad, but yes.
Okay, and
especially
so
multifamilies,
right? And so, what is that doing to the overall market, right? So, if somebody was originally thinking about buying a house, can't find what they want, decide to rent, and now they're struggling to find that place, just where is everybody going?
Many are moving in with their parents. Mm-hmm. They're moving in with their cousin. They're moving in with their best friend. I've had clients, yes, moving in the lower level of their parents' home, returning with children, waiting. I currently have that situation.
You have that situation personally?
Please?
You have that situation with yourself or with a client?
No, with clients, yes.
See, I think my parents would let me move back in if I had children. But I don't. And so the search continues. Sue, talk a little bit about the Cincinnati side. We know that people are struggling to find places to rent too after they give up on searching for that dream home right now because of the conditions of the market, maybe outpricing them. The rental market is kind of doing the same.
Right. You know, absolutely. Kind of anecdotally, so for me, so I do own a four-family townhome, four townhomes in greater Cincinnati area. And in the beginning of the year, one of the units came available, and I usually do a certain percentage over every year. And when, you know, a new one comes up, and being in the business, I was shocked at how many people, and I put it on Zillow. I didn't, you know, and then how many people came through and how many people commented that I wasn't asking enough. And I thought, wait a minute, I got to take this off and redo it. But it just, you know, I just was so, I knew it was hot, but I had no idea how hot it was. And people are there, as Karen said, they are. It's the same thing. I've got people who are living in their parents' basements. And I think the thing too, Michael, is if they're looking for housing, if they're looking like a house, a standalone house or something, it's a little bit more difficult. But, you know, you've got complexes that are easier for them to get into. They're expensive, but there are available units in those kind of places. But that's not where, if you're moving out of a house and you've got a dog and three kids, and it's not always the best situation. But there is housing available in those types of environments. It's just the single family homes that are rented, or, you know, some smaller complexes. Those are very hard to find right now. And so, yeah, people are, you know, kind of going back to, you know, selling a house. I tell people, let's, you know, find a rental unit, pretend you're, you know, on vacation for a year in one of those complexes that have the town, you know, the pool and the clubhouse, and let's get your house off the market, you know, sell it and then do that. So, I mean, that's available, as I said, but you know, it's hard for families with kids and dogs and whatnot to try and find a home at this time.
We got some comments from listeners on our Instagram page. Jenna Ann writes in, yes, my rent has gone up 45%. Meredith tells us rent hasn't gone up for her, but we stopped looking at houses for buying. And Emily also wrote, I've completely given up on buying my first home. Sad face emoji.
Don't give up.
Well, no, I completely understand. Let's go to the phone lines now at 513-419-7100, where we find Jeff. Hi, Jeff. What's your question or comment?
Hi there. I was just wondering if your guests could give any insight on if the housing market cools off a little bit as you get out, you know, maybe a half hour, 45-minute drive or hour out from Cincinnati, and how far out do you have to get for it to start finding more inventory?
All right, Jeff, we appreciate that comment very much. I'll ask both of you, Sue and Karen, about, you know, both sides of the river. Sue, looking on the North Bank, how far out do you have to go where prices might be considered by some to be a little more approachable?
Yeah, that is a great question. I've been out to Williamsburg, and I'm going out so far, places that I've never had to go to before. Not that I don't want to, but those were some houses are because they're staying on longer in the market. So you've got to get, you know, 15, 20 miles outside of the loop to start seeing homes that they're selling, but they're not selling in 2 days. And the prices are not as astronomical as some are inside 275. So I do think if you go out further, like I said, I've been to Williamsburg, Wilmington, you know, places like that, you know, I have not had to, I've not sold in before. But yeah, they're there.
And Karen, on the Kentucky side, let me ask, yes. am I moving to Falmouth?
Oh, that was that was the first city that popped up in my mind when you asked the question. Yes, Falmouth, Bridgeton, you know, we go as far as Warsaw. But the closer you get to Louisville and the closer you go to Lexington, you're going to see the same situation.
Well, that's the thing about this particular region, right? The Ohio Valley, is that we do have these mid-major American cities that are all within, you know, 100 miles of each other. And then another 100 miles, there's another one. And so ultimately, you're always in the suburbs somewhere.
Correct. That is correct.
Well, yes. Let me ask you about on the other side. Where is it hottest right now, Sue? I mean, where is it just about impossible
Hyde Park, Oakley, on the west side, it's, you know, very difficult to find a home because you find a little bit more reasonable priced homes, you know, under 200, right around the 180 to 225 mark. They're selling before they hit the market because people, you know, there's a network over there that people know each other, and you know, somebody's cousin is selling something and somebody gets wind of it and they're buying them. A couple months ago, I showed a house that had over 100 showings on it. So yeah, I think those markets, Green Township, that area, very, very hot. Westwood. And then again, you know, the Hyde Park is always hard to find something.
And Karen, what about Kentucky? Where's the toughest place to get into right now?
Okay. I believe the toughest place right now are the cities of Fort Mitchell and Fort Thomas. They're very popular areas, and sometimes folks have to broaden their search. It's so nice to be so close to the river. So many Northern Kentuckians do work in downtown Cincinnati and in Blue Ash, et cetera, et cetera. We have this beauty of 20 minutes to everything from 275, 75.
Well, that's back when we had bridges, and we don't have bridges anymore. So,
you know, you're right, Michael, you're right. But yes, Fort Mitchell and Fort Thomas, I think, are one of the most difficult. But, you know, we're experiencing the same thing that Sue mentioned. I mean, even in my own neighborhood, Tom and I, we are planning to sell our house this year. In Lakeside Park, and we're out talking to the neighborhood, and we're finding out that there are people who do want to sell their ranches, and that's what we would like to do, downsize. So that's what a lot of the people in Northern Kentucky are doing too, because it is a very close community. Even, I mean, all you have to do is blink your eyes, Michael, and you're in the next burg, as you know, our area. So everyone knows everyone. Everyone knows each other's lineage. I always tell my relocation clients, do not speak ill of anyone because you're talking to their brother, their sister, their cousin. We have a network as well. So all I suggest is if you are running into your neighbor whose house you want to purchase or a next door neighbor's, please see your realtor to navigate it for you, even if it's a for sale by owner. Because there are so many pitfalls. Your audience, please understand, you really need a a realtor in this market.
I have to say,
make sure you're covered.
I didn't expect to hear the word cousin so many times in a single segment, especially one about real estate, but I can see this. I guess I can understand the strategy a little bit. Before we wrap up, I do want to ask both of you this, because we talked about, you know, those hot destinations, those neighborhoods that people are really trying to get into and can't seem to. So as it relates to where people want to be and the type of house they want, you get your heart set on something. A dream home is a dream, right? I want to ask both of you, and very quickly, I'll give each of you 30 seconds. What is your advice when it's time to tell your client, this ain't happening this way? Okay, thanks for being with us. We'll go ahead and...
At that point, and you see, we are doing our darndest to make this happen, to help their dreams come true, because that's why Sue and I have been in this business for so daggone long, Michael. We're givers. We love working with people. We love giving them what they want. And for us to fail, there is no failure. We have to work at it and work and work and work at it until we can accomplish that. And if our client becomes frustrated, they know that we've done everything that we could possibly do to create that for them. And then the next step is, let's broaden your search.
Mm-hmm. And I would say too, you know, Karen, all that is great. And yeah, you know, let's start out instead of end up, let's start out with, let's have a big picture of, you know, what you want to do. It's not the specifics to see, you know, where we can get you. And then ultimately for me, it's the relationship. If we can't find something for them now, that's okay. Let's take some time. If they don't have to move now, let's take some time. Let's revisit it next year, because this is not, it's not, you know, we don't have to get people in and out quickly. It is a relationship building, you know, thing where we want to make sure that they're getting what they want. They're not pressured to buy something just because they want to buy it. You know, so that's, you know, I mean, it's okay if they can't find something. It'll happen sooner or later.
My thanks to Sue Bezel Price and Karen Gammel from Coldwell Banker Realty for being with us and helping us keep a little bit of optimism for those of us who are searching for a home right now. Really appreciate both of you for the time you gave us today. Thank you.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you, Michael.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Our assistant producer is Nick Swartzel. Our technical director is Josh Elstrow. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks. We'll talk again tomorrow.